Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
No, Lord, I trust you. And so, hallelujah, I fully expect you to confirm this word and do what you said that you're doing, that you're infusing us with strength to overcome any and all forms of discouragement. I give you praise for it all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen. Amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And our subject title is simply what I've been telling you all morning, is just simply two words: overcoming discouragement. Overcoming discouragement. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake, reading from the King James Bible. And what are we talking about today? Overcoming discouragement. Overcoming discouragement. Now, let me just say this before I read the scripture. All my teaching is always about building you up. See, I know you got to understand where I came from. I came from an introvert place. I came from being shy, timid, fearful. Man, I was a champion worrier. I lacked confidence. I was a people pleaser. I had approval addiction, man, all of that. So I had to be delivered from, man, listen, I was a mess. I was a mess, and God delivered me. And so I teach and preach in a manner to where you can overcome in life and be an overcomer. There's no way that if you sit under my teaching and preaching, and you believe it now, you got to believe it, that your personality is not going to change. Your confidence is not going to. I got too many witnesses. I've seen too much growth in people. Because I teach people how to win in life. Not just be churchy, not just be religious, but how to win in life. How to win in their personal lives. Because we all go through things in life, just like our bodies are different. Listen, situations we face in life will be different. There is no blanket answer that'll fix everybody's problem. You got to know how. So I told the Lord, you got to show me first how to win in life, and then make it simple enough so I can explain it to others. And that's what you get from me. Well, today we're going to look at overcome discouragement. Now, you're looking at a brother who has, I don't remember the last time I was discouraged. Now, I did not say that I wasn't tempted to be discouraged. Mm-hmm. I just didn't give in to the temptation. Being a pastor, one of the main reasons why I did not want a pastor. No, I did not want a pastor. I loved evangelizing is because I did not. Now, don't shoot me. But this is how I was thinking. I did not want to deal with the same people week after week and have to put up with their inconsistency. I didn't. 2nd, I did not want to put up with people not wanting to grow. So they would come to church and sit. And I saw other pastors dealing with that. So I came in as an evangelist, just tore the house up, and then I got to leave. But see, now God says, now I want you to pastor. I didn't want to do that. So early in my pastoral ministry, I had to learn how to, here you go, brother. I had to learn how to overcome discouragement. Where we are as a ministry, Faith Word, I did not plan for this. I didn't ask for this. Many times the thought was, man, listen, I can go to Texas, do the same type of ministry, and have a good, possibly a great following. And it'll be warm. But I had to stay where God had planted me. So I had to overcome discouragement from what I see, how I feel. And then in your personal life. So what I'm sharing with y'all, my brothers and sisters, you don't have to give into it, but you got to submit to this. And that's where a lot of Christians don't. They want God just to fix it while they remain the same. So look at this, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. From that verse, when you read that verse, who does it say will make your way prosperous? You will, not God, but a lot of people are waiting on God. He says for you to do some things by observing the word, look to act on the word, and you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Now, one of the things I had to learn was I had to learn that being courageous was not a feeling. It was a command from God. I didn't approach it like that because there was a lot of things I used to be fearful of. I didn't like conflict with people. I didn't like if some things happened. Now, I know I have to think way back because I'm so far different, but I got to think back to how I was. But there was a lot of things that I did not want to deal with. Personality conflicts, situations. If we had a problem, if Cheryl and I had a major bill and it didn't work out, and I was afraid of something being disconnected, turned off, whatever, they come and pick up the dog or the cat or whoever they was going to get. I had to learn how to face problems and not be afraid. Not be shaking in my boots, not be feeling inferior. Now, let me say this by the Holy Spirit. I believe I sense this, that if you want to overcome inferiority, you got to let it go. Pastor, is it that simple? You got to let it go. The only reason why you hold on to inferiority is because of how you see yourself. It has nothing to do with the other person. It has nothing to do with the situation. It has to do with how you see yourself. You see yourself inferior. You see yourself not having enough, not enough education, not enough money, not enough talent, not enough skill, not enough savoir-faire, not enough charisma, whatever the case may be. You just have to let it go. Well, I didn't realize it was that simple. So I held on to it. Because I was waiting, I don't know what I was waiting on. I was waiting on God to just, I guess, slap me and knock me down, and then I get up totally changed.
Right, right.
But it didn't work like that.
Right.
He says, you're holding on to it. I said, no, I'm not. He says, you're holding on. I said, no, I'm not. He said, then go step out and do this. I said, I can't. And it's because of how I saw myself. So look what it says. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Everyone say, it's a command. Be strong. So now be strong is being strong. He said, Mark, act strong, talk strong, think strong, move strong, and respond strong. And I said, I don't know how to be strong. He says, you can do this. So it took me to take these steps in uncomfortable places, in uncomfortable situations, so that I can see the word working in my life. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, if you're going to overcome discouragement, you're going to have to believe verses 6 through 9, but the emphasis is on verse 9. Look at the last part of verse 9 one more time. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. How can you be discouraged if you believe God is with you? So let's look at this definition of discouragement. I'm just Googling this just to show you the definition. This is right off the internet. The definition of discouragement. Discouragement is a loss of confidence or a loss of enthusiasm.
Okay.
A loss of confidence or a loss of enthusiasm. Some of the ways that causes discouragement to come is, number one, fear causes discouragement to come. Loss causes discouragement to come. Loss of anything, loss of finances, loss of position, loss of anything. Lack of direction causes discouragement to come. Lack of direction or lack of purpose. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Lack of purpose causes discouragement to come. Watch this. Chronic issues causes discouragement to come. Everyone say chronic issues.
Chronic.
Now, what do you mean? Has anybody ever had chronic pain? That's like pain that won't go away. It's with you. And you just get tired of it. After a while, after all your efforts of dealing with this pain, the end result is now you become discouraged because it's still with you. Chronic issues causes discouragement to come. Lack of control causes discouragement to come. What do you mean lack of control? Well, you told yourself, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. And then you find yourself doing it. Now you get discouraged because you can't even control yourself. All right? Here's another one. Unhealthy relationships causes discouragement. Unhealthy relationships. You can feel like you're giving your all, but the other party isn't. That could be whether it's in a marriage, whether it's a parent-child, whether it's on the job, whether it's with relatives, whatever the case. And so now you become discouraged because of this unhealthy relationship. Here's another one. Loneliness causes discouragement. Loneliness causes discouragement. And then what about when people are ungrateful? Ingratitude causes discouragement. You're looking at what you do and you're thinking that people ought to show an appreciation and be grateful, but they don't. And so now that ingratitude causes discouragement. It discourages you from wanting to do anything else for them again. And then finally, and this is not an exhaustive list, it's just a few things. And then finally, lack of identity causes discouragement. Lack of identity causes discouragement. Now, how do you know if you're discouraged? How do you know if you're discouraged? Well, watch this, Elder Kathy. Watch this, Elder Chris. See how y'all can see this. When you're unable to enjoy the present, because you perceive that you're missing out on what you think is best, you'll become discouraged. Mm-hmm. When you don't enjoy your present, where you are right now, because of this, that will cause discouragement. That's why I always, you hear me confess that scripture. This is the day that the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will, come on, rejoice and be glad in it. By declaring that, I am sending a message to discouragement that you're not welcome. You have to learn to enjoy your present where you are. When you perceive that challenging circumstances are a witness that you're not winning in life, you'll become discouraged. When you allow challenging circumstances to talk you out of your victory position. Mm-hmm. All right, watch this. See if somebody can identify with this. When you spend all your time and energy trying to safeguard yourself against problems and heartaches, and you feel like it's not working, you become discouraged. One of the things, if you're really listening to me, from all these examples I'm giving, one of the things, the common denominator is, what are you identifying with? Your identification, or what you identify yourself with, is what you connect yourself to. And everything that I've already mentioned, none of it was about God. So that means that for the Christian who succumbs to discouragement, who gives in to discouragement, in order for that to happen, they have to first lose sight of God. They have to lose sight of who they are in God. Here's another one. How do you know if you're discouraged? When you're spiritually weak, so you cave in when you're overwhelmed by contradictory circumstances, or, watch this, distasteful moments in life. You become overwhelmed by that. So you're spiritually weak, and so you cave in to that. Listen, my brothers and sisters, distasteful moments in life happen to us all because we're on the earth where sin is, Satan is, and flawed people are. And you have to understand that just because a distasteful time happens to you, distasteful, what do you mean, Pastor Mark? Okay, you get in your car, you're ready to go where you want to go, and it don't start. You didn't expect that, but it happened. Now you got to find a way to resolve this that you didn't prepare for when you started your day. Mm-hmm. It has thrown a monkey wrench in your entire schedule, and now you're late for, and you just knew you were leaving in time, but now you got to deal with this car issue. Now you're facing a distasteful moment, and it gets really distasteful when a mechanic tells you how much it costs. And you wasn't expecting that charge. Now the thought is, why did this happen to me? That's just an example. Just different things like that happens to us all. You have to learn how to navigate through life and still win. Here's how do you know if you're discouraged? One more. When you live in fear of losing, or you fear struggling, the fear of stressing, fear of worrying, and you feel like your efforts are not working. Everyone say, I must resist
the temptation
to become discouraged. So let's look at this. Number one, let's put some things down so that you'll have some resolution. Number one, I want you to understand what we do not confront will not change. What we do not confront will not change. If you don't confront getting discouraged, it will not change. I found out that sometimes discouraged people, or people who give in to discouragement, they become bitter. And if you're not careful, you'll allow a root of bitterness to take place in your heart, and you'll think it's your personality. But it's bitterness talking. Bitterness has contaminated your perspective. Bitterness has affected your feelings. Bitterness has affected even your understanding. But you think it's you. But because you gave yourself into discouragement for a long period of time, it filtered over into a root of bitterness, and now you became bitter about anything that happens to you that you don't like. And we can't give in to that.
Amen.
See, here's the second thing. If discouragement is ignored, it becomes stronger. If discouragement is ignored, it becomes stronger. You can't just ignore discouragement and think it's going to go away. You have to confront it. And then the third thing I want you to understand is when you become discouraged, You become weak and lose the courage you need to go forward. When you become discouraged, you become weak and lose the courage you need to go forward. Now, go with me real quick to 1 Kings chapter 22. You want me to repeat that one more time? When you become discouraged, you become weak and lose the courage you need to go forward. When you become discouraged, you become weak and you lose the courage you need to go forward. This is why you have to resist the temptation to become discouraged. Now, everybody responds differently, but some things we can get some generalities from. And when some people get discouraged, it all depends on their type of personality. They take it out on somebody else. But it's because they got discouraged. Or then you have a person, when they become discouraged, they stop functioning. They don't want to do nothing.
That's right.
They have allowed discouragement to paralyze them in life. They don't want to participate. They say, no, y'all go ahead. Mm-hmm. No, come on, no, y'all go ahead. Then others, when they become discouraged, they lose inspiration. They're not inspired about their life. They're not inspired in life. They stop being creative. They stop being productive. They stop being innovative because they've allowed themselves to become discouraged and they say, well, this is my life, this is how I am. No. See, right now, there are a lot of Christians going through discouragement because of the almost 2.5 years we've been dealing with the pandemic. And it has disrupted their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. It has disrupted what they call normal living, normal life. And if they really look at it, what was normal about the life they were living? Really? Because some were still getting depressed. I'm talking before COVID.
Right, right.
Some were getting depressed. Some were getting discouraged because they didn't have enough money. What was normal about that? It's just that they did not want to deal with something else.
Right.
Now look at everything COVID or the pandemic has opened the door to. The governmental issues, political issues, social issues, the different things that's going on, the division that's happening in churches and in families, all because of no mask, mask, vaccine, no vaccine, all of that is going on. They don't want to deal with that. You have to understand that you must confront discouragement and not allow it to dictate to you how you're going to be, how you're going to live, how you're going to believe, how you're going to process information, how you're going to process what happens to you in life. You have to learn how to navigate through life and still win. Somebody say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
So when you become discouraged, you become weak and you lose the courage you need to go forward. I don't want you to lose the courage to go forward. Don't lose the courage to go forward. Look at this real quick. 1 Kings 22. Watch this. Look at this. Now this is going to bless you. 1 Kings 22. Let's start at verse 19. Now they was coming and some kings were in a battle and they were coming to ask the prophets for a word from the Lord. Well, all the other prophets gave a favorable word. So one king says, no, I want to hear from Micaiah. Let's hear what he got to say. And let's start at verse number 14. I know I told you 19, but let's start at 14. Let me read real quick. 1 Kings 22, verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that you tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And so here's Micaiah speaking in verse 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Look at verse 19. Now we're at the verse where I wanted to start. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Now, everyone look up here. God now, through the gift of discerning of spirits, opened the spirit realm up. And now the prophet Micaiah is seeing into the realm of the spirit. And he's seeing what's going on behind the scenes. Let's look at what's going on behind the scenes. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. And all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit. Underline verse 21 in your Bible. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.
Wow.
Listen. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Now, let's stop right here. Now, you would think from the King James Bible, it makes it seem like God is doing all of this. But in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, they had no revelation of Satan. They had no revelation of the devil because they were not born again. Jesus had not come. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given to every man. The anointing only was on three offices, the king, the priest, and the prophet. So all he sees is what he can understand. He had no revelation of the devil. So in the realm of the spirit, he says, I'm going to send a spirit, a lying spirit, to be in the mouth of all the prophets. They're going to tell the king, go up. So that now the king can be destroyed. Now, what is he saying? How does this fit in with our message today? You must go after the spiritual force that's behind discouragement. If you're not careful, like the king, you'll just be looking at everything in the natural. I'm talking to everybody on Zoom. I'm talking to everybody here. Every time you've gotten discouraged, you just looked at everything in the natural that didn't happen like you wanted it to happen. You didn't see the spiritual attack behind the matter to discourage you. It's like this. It's like picking fruit off of a tree. You can pick all the fruit off of a tree and think that just because no more fruit is visible, you've conquered the tree. But as long as the tree has a root, it will produce the fruit again. So a lot of times, a lot of Christians are stuck trying to change what is visible and they never go after the root. So that's why they are susceptible to being discouraged again. Because they think if I change everything I see, I'm all right. You got to go to the spiritual force. Everybody say the root.
The root
is what produces the fruit. You have to go after the spiritual force behind the discouragement. You have to learn to stay in your spiritual authority and not bow to any form of discouragement. There is life discouragement, financial discouragement, situation discouragement, performance discouragement, satanic discouragement, all these different measures and kinds and types of discouragement. And you have to understand that it is the goal of the adversary to rid you of your spiritual desire for God. He sends discouragement to steal your passion for life, to steal your inspiration in life, to steal your energy for life, so that you'll become a satanic trophy of defeat. Y'all getting anything from this?
Amen.
Let's get ready to wrap it up. I'll pick it up next week. Glory to God. But let me show you this. When you let discouragement enter your heart, here are some things that you lose. When you let discouragement enter your heart, here are some things you lose. Now trust me. Now listen, there's a big difference between being tempted to be discouraged and then allow discouragement into your heart. Resist the temptation and not allow it to enter into your heart. When discouragement enters into your heart, one of the things you lose is peace of mind. You will lose peace of mind. Number two, another thing that you will lose is peace of heart. And what I mean by peace of heart, now you can't feel settled or rested in the situation because you're disturbed on the inside. When you lose peace of mind, you give in to mental anguish. That's why so many people are giving in to depression. They're giving in to discouragement. Number three, another thing that you lose when discouragement enters into your heart is confidence. You lose confidence. Confidence in God bringing you out, confidence in you coming out, confidence in things working out, confidence that things will get better. You lose confidence. Number four, when you let discouragement enter your heart, you lose, of course, courage. Courage to go forward. Courage to face life. Courage to overcome. You lose courage. So let me see if you're getting this. When you let discouragement enter into your heart, some of the things that you lose is, number one is peace of mind. Peace of mind. Number two is peace of heart. Peace of heart. When I say peace of heart, that's that restfulness for your soul. Number three, you lose confidence. Confidence. Number four, you lose
courage.
You lose courage. Number five, you lose endurance. Now you won't be able to stay with something long term because you've given in to discouragement. You lose endurance. The ability, Krishan, to stay with it and stay consistent. You lose endurance. The next one is, see how y'all like this one? You lose heroism. Heroism. In other words, the ability to be a hero, faith hero in your situation. You use that valiant ability to come out on top. Heroism. The next one is you lose resilience. Resilience. The ability to withstand no matter what's happening. And then my last two. So the first one is you lose resolution, the ability to solve problems because you're discouraged. You're discouraged. You lose that ability to solve problems. And I always tell y'all this, he who solves problems get paid. You'll benefit from it. Problems make a demand on your divine creativity. We don't cave in to problems. We overcome them. You are made for problems. You are a problem solver. But the fact is, some Christians say, I just don't want to. I'm tired. I want life to be easy. You're not in heaven yet. All right, and then the last one. I think it's a biggie. I think each one of them are really big. When you let discouragement enter into your heart, you lose security. You lose security. So to overcome discouragement, you have to sever the root. Let's get ready to close out. I want to show you two passages of scripture in closing. Proverbs 15 and 4 and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Proverbs 15 and 4. Proverbs 15 and 4 and then 1 Peter 3, 10. And we're going to close this thing out. I have to learn that the temptation to become discouraged, it's going to come at you. For example, you can become discouraged when your convenience is disrupted. Don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. You can become discouraged when your comfort zone is challenged. Recognize these things and resist them. And then you also can become discouraged when the things that you have placed confidence in seem to let you down and they're not getting the job done like you would like. Everyone say, I'm learning
to overcome
discouragement. All right, so discouragement wants you to feel like you're in a box and that you can't come out. Discouragement wants you to feel like you can't be yourself because nothing better is happening for you. Discouragement wants to make you feel useless, not fulfilling, unable to achieve your desired outcome. Discouragement walks side by side with futility attacks. Remember that teaching, futility attacks? Okay, Proverbs 15 and 4. So how can we do this? What can I give you today to help you on your way in overcoming discouragement? And we'll see it right here, Proverbs 15 and 4. It says this, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Y'all got that?
Yes.
Listen to it from the Living Bible. Listen. You don't have the translation, so just listen to me. The Living Bible says this, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. When you start griping, or what's another word for griping? Complaining about life, discouragement sees that as an open door to come in. The Amplified Classic says of Proverbs 15 and 4, a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. So in order for discouragement to come, you got to use words that will break down your spirit. Now, that's not just talking to other people. Mainly it's talking to yourself. So how can we do this? Well, it says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue. A wholesome tongue. Learn this right now. To overcome discouragement, I must not poison my joy. Write it down. To overcome discouragement, I must not poison my joy. I must not poison my joy. For the child of God, for the believer, joy is resident in your born-again spirit. But it is possible to poison that joy. You saw in Proverbs 15 and 4 where it says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. When your tongue is perverted, it corrupts the joy on the inside. If we keep our mouths positive during difficulties, though it may look to everyone else that our circumstance should make us miserable, we can drink joy from the fountain of our own lips. Look at this. I got you at 1 Peter 3, right? Okay, that was the second scripture. We were at Proverbs 15 and 4. Now go to real quick, the second one, 1 Peter 3 and 10. Okay. In order to overcome discouragement, you have to learn to not poison your joy. Let me just help you. just give you the second thing, because I want you to leave here with some solutions. The second thing that you got to do is you must get your mind and your mouth off your problems. Get your, come on, mind and your mouth off your problems. And then number three, then I'm going to read the scripture. Number three. You have to understand that what you talk about is what you magnify. What you talk about is what you magnify. Let me give you these three solutions again. Number one, I must learn not to poison my joy. Number two, I must get my mind and my mouth off of my problems. And then number three, I have to understand that what I talk about, that's verbally to someone else or inwardly to myself, what I talk about is what I magnify. Okay, 1 Peter 3:10, we're going to end here. Did y'all get something today?
Yes, sir.
1 Peter 3:10, let me know when you get there by saying I'm there. It says this from the King James Bible. Now listen, listen, watch this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Mm-hmm. Now we just read from Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So I had learned, I got to the place where behind closed doors, I refused to talk what I was going through. I'm talking about to myself or to anybody else. I refused to. I wasn't going to give what I was going through room in my house, room behind closed doors. I wasn't going to give it room in my heart. Right, Krishan? I wasn't going to give it room. So I disciplined myself. I disciplined myself. Man, I was tempted. All of us are tempted. When we're going through something, the first thing you want to do is talk about it. Whether you talk about it to somebody else or even to yourself.
Yeah.
You want to tell them what's going on, how you feeling. You want somebody to sympathize with you. You want somebody to feel sorry for you. You want somebody to identify with what you're feeling. I refuse to it. Because this scripture says, look at the verse again, for he that will love life. So I love my life. And then it says, and you want to see good days. Anybody here want to see good days?
Yes.
It says, if you want to love life and see good days, control your mouth. Control your mouth. Listen, my brothers and sisters, control your mouth, what you say to others and what you say to yourself inwardly. Don't poison your joy. Get your mind and your mouth off your problem. And understand, if I do talk about this, I'm magnifying it in my life. And it's amazing to me how often Christians can talk about stuff and they see how now it starts getting worse. Then they come to me like the preacher, they come to me and say, see there, I told you it's not working. No. It's not working because of what you've been saying to yourself and what you've been saying behind closed doors. You're the one who caused this, because what you talk about, you magnify. God has given you that authority on earth. So I'm telling you, dear hearts, don't give in to discouragement. Say amen, somebody.
Amen, Pastor.
If you learn to talk about God and what he has said and not the problems, you will be strengthened instead of weakened. One of the most amazing things they did was give you that phone. Man, my notebook, my notes on here, it's filled with declarations I make myself say. Because since I got my phone with me, I'm going to use this thing as a tool for my victory. But see, what you'll do...
Don't tell on us, Pastor. Don't tell
us. You'll go to Facebook and look at somebody else's opinion.
Uh-huh.
You'll go to Instagram, look at somebody else's opinion. you'll go to YouTube and see somebody else, you know, in that similar situation, whatever the case may be. No, man, my phone is a tool of victory. If, I mean, really, if I showed you all some of the what I have in my notepad, the different declarations, man, it really will amaze you. You all will look at me and say, this dude for real, you better believe it. I don't play because I want to enjoy life and I want to see good days.
Amen.
So let's end with this. The Amplified Classic said, the 1 Peter 3:10, it says, for let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days. Everyone say good days.
Good days.
Wait. Watch this. Watch how the Amplified Classic says it. It says good whether it's apparent or not. I'm making it good whether it's apparent or not. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, treachery, and deceit. Glory to God. So it's your tongue. Your tongue can usher in depression. It can usher in discouragement. It can usher in frustration. You must get your mind and your mouth off of your problem and learn to speak your victory. Amen? Come on, stand on your feet. Glory to God. Let's put our hands together. Give God some praise. Come on, let's praise him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just come to you now. We thank you for the victory. We thank you, glory to God, for causing us to overcome. Now, everybody say this after me. Repeat this declaration of faith after me. Come on, everyone on Zoom, get ready. We're going to repeat this together. Make this declaration. The greater one is in me now.
The greater one is in me now.
He's greater
than tests and trials.
He's greater than any other power I face.
He's greater
than any force that could come against me.
I expect him
in every crisis of life
to rise up within me.
I expect him
to give illumination to my mind.
I expect him
to give strength to my body.
I expect him
to give direction into my spirit.
He lives in me now.
The greater one lives in me now.
Therefore, I cannot be defeated.
I cannot fail.
My faith is in him.
My confidence is in him.
I am strong in his power.
The devil is not bigger than God.
Circumstances are not bigger than God. Sickness, disease, and pain is not bigger than God.
Lack and want are not bigger than God.
My Father is greater than all.
And he lives in me now.
He will put me over.
The power of God is in me
to put me over.
Greater is he that's within me
to put me over.
I'm quickened according to the word of God.
And I thank God
that the ability of God
is released within me now.
I stand before demons.
I stand before sickness, disease, and pain.
I stand before lack and want.
I stand before discouragement and depression.
And I have no fear.
Because the ability of God
is released within me now.
By the words of my mouth.
And by the word of God.
So I praise the name of my God.
Forever.
Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Glory to God.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.